Okay, we're going to open our Bibles to Romans and chapter 3. And as you will see, the title today is Living God's Way, Trusting in Him. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, they have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say, that God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God should judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as we are being slanderously reported as saying, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result? Their condemnation is deserved. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands God, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Okay, so the heading I've put up is Living God's Way, Trusting in Him. And we've been tracing our way through the letter to Romans, understanding that the letter arises out of Paul's own understanding of life and God and faith, and his own transformed perspective has given way to a transformed life. Because the Apostle Paul, he was a committed Jew following the detail of the law. And in terms of his own perspective, his own understanding, God would save him because he was a good Jew. But then he met the resurrected Jesus Christ. He met Jesus raised from the dead. And that changed everything for Paul. Once he had persecuted those who'd begun following this Jesus, the one who'd been crucified. But once Paul had met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, everything changed and his own perspective was transformed. And that gave way for Paul to a transformed life. And as we have noted in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that in Jesus, there is a new way to live. In verse 16 and 17 of chapter 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about Jesus, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And then, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God. That is a new way to live. That is God's way of living, of understanding the world and reaching out to others, relationships. Everything is encompassed within that word righteousness. A righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So the Apostle Paul has had his own life transformed because he met the risen Jesus. And his understanding, trying to get around this apparent problem, what then of the Jews? They have been the ones who've been given God's law. They are God's people. But then there's all these other people, Gentiles, non-Jews, who've begun following Jesus, believing and understanding that God will save them, even though they don't become Jews. How do we get around this? And for Paul, the penny drops, and he says, this is how it works. God had revealed a righteousness, his righteousness, a way of living in Jesus. And the Jews have to live that way, and the Gentiles have to live that way as well. Is there anything we can pin this down to? Are there any laws we can follow? Any rules we can adhere to? And Paul says, no, not really. We've just got to have faith. And really, that's about trust. You have to begin the journey, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you just have to begin the journey and you have to trust God that he will save you. I was talking to somebody just a couple of weeks ago and just reminding the Christian faith is the Christian faith. It is not the Christian fact. And I think a lot of the time we'd like it to be the Christian fact. Everything's nailed down and 100% certain. It's not. In the same way, in a marriage and a relationship, we regularly exercise faith in our partner or in our good friends. Can you trust them 100%? Will they definitely do what you think they'll do? Well, it's never 100%. You just trust that they'll do it. You trust that you can trust them. And the Apostle Paul says there's this new way of living that's rooted in Jesus. If you walk the way of life that Jesus walked, God will save you. How can I be sure? Well, you've just got to trust God that he will save you. Now, Paul, having said that in Romans 1, 16 and 17, he says, look, all around you, there are alternatives to this way of life. And as we looked at the end verse 18 of chapter 1 onwards to the end of that chapter, there is the life of the empire. And of course, Paul is writing this letter to Rome, the center of the empire. And Paul is saying, look, there is a life out there. There's a culture, a society out there. And you can choose not to live God's way. You can choose to live the way that you see all around you, the way of the empire. A second alternative, as we saw in chapter 2, are to continue with the traditions of religion. You could do that. In chapter 2, of course, he's particularly talking about the Jewish religion. That's another alternative. But then when we get to chapter 3, I've said, then begins the backlash. It's not much of a backlash, but there are those who say, well, hang on, how does this work? And of course, chapter 3, verse 1, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? And basically, somebody has come back to Paul and said to him, what's the point? What's the point of being a Jew? That was the first objection. If we've just got to follow Jesus, what's the point of being a Jew? All these traditions we've been taught, we've adhered to, and so on. And the Apostle Paul, you will see, he doesn't abandon Jews. He doesn't say, well, there's absolutely no point at all. This is ingrained in you. This is who you are. And he says, first of all, you will see there the verse, chapter 3, verse 2, you're a trustee of the gift of God's word. And what a wonderful gift to be given. To be given God's word. Ever since the Jews were called by God to be his people, they were entrusted with his word. And the point always was that the Jews, they were called the light of the world. That was who they were. The understanding was that the Jews wouldn't keep God's word for themselves, but God would reveal himself to the whole of the rest of the world through the Jews. They would take God's word that was entrusted to them, and they would share it with the whole of the rest of the world. And so Paul says, don't abandon being a Jew. It's good if that's who you are. Stay with it. You still have to follow Jesus. But stay with being a Jew. Don't abandon that, because you are a trustee of the gift of God's word. And he also says, look, God will always be faithful to his promises. God has made some wonderful and extraordinary promises to the Jewish people. And he says, look, even if you're unfaithful, even if you don't have faith at all, God will still be trustworthy. God will not abandon his promises. In verse 4, not at all. God, let God be true and every man a liar. God will always remain faithful. So that's the first objection. And then he goes off on a tangent for a little bit. But that's the first key question that comes back at Paul, having said there's a new way to live in Jesus. It's all of faith. You've just got to walk and trust God that he'll be with you and he will save you. What's the point of being a Jew? Well, there's loads. Don't abandon being a Jew. And that's true for every ethnic group around the world. Don't abandon being who you are. That is your gift to the world, your ethnicity. And then the second thing comes up. Are Christians superior to the Jews? And you'll know I've put that in inverted commas. Verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? And I've put it in inverted commas because I'm not sure that people would have been familiar with this term, Christians. But I've put it there just so that we understand what we're talking about. This question comes up. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? What's the point of being a Jew? Well, lots. It's okay. But then, are Christians any better then? Because we're those who follow Jesus. And of course, his big response is, no. We're not any better than Jews. We're not superior to Jews in any way. Not at all. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. And so we see that in verse 9, and then if you look across at verse 23, verse 22, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The point of being a Jew is you've been entrusted with God's word. You are the light of the world. Go and share that light with the whole of the rest of the world. The Messiah has been revealed in Jesus. Are Christians superior to the Jews? Are Christians superior to anybody? No, not at all. Why not? Because we've all sinned. We're all in the same boat. We've all messed up. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then Paul then goes on to say, but God has dealt with sin in Jesus, verses 24 and 25. So from verse 23, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. So God has dealt with this thing that makes us all equal, this thing that means that we're all the same. None of us are superior to anybody else. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. None of us have lived the way that God wants to live, us to live. None of us have adhered closely to the righteousness of God, the way of life that is revealed in Jesus. And so it is true, only one thing matters now. Only one thing, and that is living God's way. Nothing else matters. Nothing else sets us apart. There is no other goal, he says, for any of us to aim for than to seek to live God's way. So that, in about 15 minutes or 10 minutes, that is a very quick summary, broad brushstroke, of what chapter 3 is about. Question, what's the point of being a Jew from the Jews? And Paul says, if you're a Jew, carry on being a Jew. It's always true. The only thing that matters is living God's way. But stay being a Jew. Are Christians superior to Jews? No. Because we're all sinners. The only thing that matters for Christians is living God's way. It is all true. If you're a Jew, stay being a Jew. If you're another ethnic group, stay being that ethnicity. It's okay. But the only thing that matters is that God has revealed this new way to live in Jesus. So what's our response? And I'll put it all up there. God has revealed this new way to live centered in Jesus. And our response should be that we humbly step away, as it were, from my way of life, from my attitudes, from my values, from everything I build my life upon. We humbly step away from that and we step towards God. And we do so trusting in God. And you might say, well, how can I be sure? How can I be sure that this is true? How can I be sure that in this step of faith, the process and journey of salvation really does begin? How can I be sure? It's faith. It's faith. It's trusting that God is trustworthy. It's about stepping out and saying, what are the values of the life of Jesus? This is the only thing that matters. God has revealed salvation in Jesus. So I must step out and begin to live the way of Jesus. That may mean abandoning certain habits. It may mean stepping away from certain values that I hold. Certain things that are kind of entrenched within me. How will I know that I won't look a fool? How will I know it will work out? You know what the answer is? It is faith. It's trust. It's trust in God. And Paul says, this is the greatest and best adventure you can ever step out on. You're not going to nail it down. It's not going to become fact to you. And that's the problem, just as an aside, that's the problem with fundamentalists, is that they have nailed it all down. It is fact to them. But it's not. It's about trusting in God. Now, a final slide. And I could have written this up, but I found it written down. An author by the name of Brené Brown wrote, faith is a place of mystery where we find the courage to believe in what we cannot see and the strength to let go of our fear of uncertainty. And I think she's absolutely right. This is in a book, The Gifts of Imperfection. Faith is a place of mystery. That's stepping out. How will I know? Living God's way. Well, it's a place of mystery. But it's a place where we find the courage to believe what we cannot see, and the strength to let go of our fear of uncertainty. And that's the encouragement here in chapter 3. It's about faith. It's about trusting in God. Let's pause there and we'll pray together. Gracious Father, we give thanks to you for the good news concerning Jesus. Gracious Father, we acknowledge that for some of us, we were brought up within the Christian tradition. And yet we acknowledge today that that does not make us any more superior to anybody else. But the challenge, the call, come follow me from Jesus, still resonates powerfully, profoundly with us. And gracious Father, we confess that we've often wanted to nail things down. We confess that we've often wanted certainty and fact. And yet, Father, we know you are trustworthy and we can have faith in you. And Father, we would cling to you more than anything else. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who has revealed the Father to us, has revealed you to us. We thank you that in Jesus we see utter trustworthiness, compassion and love. We see in Jesus mercy and grace and forgiveness. We see gentleness and kindness in Jesus. And Father, we acknowledge having, as it were, seen Jesus, we have seen you, and we choose to have faith in you. Help us, each one of us, to continue on that journey of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.